begins very late. But not as late as the 10 o'clock hour did. Brian Bulaga is in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better as he treks over those treacherous rocks between his home and his cold tub on his in his turf shoes. Brian, normally we do tackle talk with you when you join us on Wednesdays. I have one short offensive line question for this segment, and then I have a longer one to delve into for the next one. And I actually get this question from Mark Chimura this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, talking with him and Gabe this morning. What's the deal with Jacob Monk? What are we to think about him? Because, you know, first of all, you mentioned it earlier in the show. If you missed this during the Philadelphia playoff game, everything went to hell when Elgton Jenkins left the game four snaps in with a stinger. And they tried two different dudes, both of whom are tackles. First, it was Travis Glover. Then it was Kadeem Telfert, Telly Monster, as we like to call him if you're a Sesame Street fan. And neither one of them was good enough. They both got penalties. They both were, I don't want to say they were turnstiles, but they struggled. Again, and in fairness to them, they had played it like a combined 30 snaps of offense all year long. They are inexperienced tackles playing left guard against the best front four in the league. So surprise, surprise, didn't go well. But I wonder what exactly they have planned, if anything, for Jacob Monk, who was a college center. He also played both of the guard spots, though, so it's not like he can't play elsewhere. But he was a guy, fifth-round pick, you know as well as I do because he's one of your good friends. Corey Linsley was a fifth-round pick. And he wound up being one of the best centers in Packers history. There is value in those picks. You don't have to be a first-rounder like Brian to be an effective NFL player. But Jacob Monk was active for the game. Now, he played zero snaps on offense all season long. But I know they love versatility. But it would appear that those two fellows that they played are tackles that did not play very well at guard. So what are we to think about how Jacob Monk fits that puzzle when the first thing we're talking about is they sign Aaron Banks? Clearly they're moving Elgton Jenkins to center because the only position Banks has played is left guard. So he's clearly left guard. That was Elton's position. How do you view the Jacob Monk puzzle piece at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the only way I can look at it, and he is a rookie, right, or was a rookie last year, but the only way I can look at it, and he's active for the game, a guard gets hurt, you could do a like-for-like swap because he has played guard in the past, and I'm sure he's taken reps at guard throughout the week, and he's studied up on it and all that. But they don't. They do, you know, they made the switches that they made. The only thing I can assume is that they only think and trust him at the center position and that they only believe he's ready to play that position from – at last year, at least, right? They only believe he was ready to do that at that given point.
Sure.
Which, to me, in that situation, I'm not sure I'm not on board with it because it's very difficult, like you mentioned, to put big tackle bodies in at guard in that situation because you see what happens when you put big tackle bodies in at guard against big men like that, right? Because they stand up tall with big men and they get pushed back very easily, and you want the lower center of gravity type guys to battle inside with those types of big guys that the Eagles had. And I don't know much about Monk because he didn't play any snaps,
right?
Right,
like we it's didn't not get like to you see filmed him the play. Watch. Right.
Yeah, we didn't get to see him play against starters in the NFL, you know, in regular season play. So you don't get to see him with his play style and his strength and all that. So it's hard to tell what they're seeing that we don't get to see. But it makes you think that they believe he's like a year or two away before they can trust him fully to put him out there. Now, he can have a off season where he puts on size, he puts on strength, and he comes back a different guy. And I've seen it happen. It can happen to anyone. But at that point in time, they just didn't see it as, like, feasible. But here's the thing where it got a little funky, right? Like, when Myers got hurt, and they moved Sean Ryan to center, that's where I started to get a little confused on what was happening at that point in time, right? Like, I was like, all right, why wouldn't you leave the guard alone and put him at center? Like, I started to lose sight of what was going on, and I understand at that point, right, like, the game was essentially done at that point, right? I think they were up by 10-ish or something. Like, you know, I understand, but, like, that's the time to get the kid reps, right? Like, that would be the time to see what he's about. It's a bad situation. I understand it. But, like, that's the time to see, and they didn't even want to do that. So my only thought is that they just don't believe he's quite ready yet. And that's all I can assume. And that's not a knock on the kid. Listen, if he only weighs, and Corey's an outlier, because Corey was always light throughout his career. Corey was always like 285 pounds. But Corey was stronger than any human being on the team. Corey was the strongest guy on the team, if not the second, next to like Mike Daniels. So like Corey was an outlier, right? So like don't eliminate Corey from this conversation. Like Monk may be like 285 pounds, or 200, like maybe 290 pounds, and he's just not ready to play at, you know, from a size perspective at that level yet. And he needs another year of putting on strength and size, which, hey, he could do that this offseason. He just at that time against that Eagles defensive line wasn't ready yet. And that's could be the only thing I assume, right? Because if he was ready, you would put that body in when Elton got hurt. Right, if he was ready from that standpoint, at least that's the way I would assume. But I wasn't there. I didn't hear the conversation through the headset. I wish I would have. It'd been good to hear.
He's listed at 6'3", 308, but and this I know this is going to sound a little weird, but having been around offensive linemen for 30 years, there ain't no way he's 308.
Yeah,
there just isn't.
Yeah,
so
probably like. Probably like 291. If they're saying he's 308, he's probably like 291, 292. Would be my
next
guess.
On Wilde and Tausch, guessing people's weights. Jesse, 182. So I want to get to, well, you did have that Madison weight loss, so it's hard to judge. I do want to get to another question that's facing this offensive line, because they did add Aaron Banks, but I think we need to, with only 8 draft picks and we're talking about all these needs, I think we need to talk about where this offensive line stands, and especially if they decide that they were wrong about Jacob Monk, because then they invested a 5th-round pick a year ago, and if for some reason he's not good enough, they have some depth charge issues that they need to get through. We'll talk about that as we roll on with Tackle Talk with Brian Bulaga. We will do that after we hear from Tausch telling us about Kohler Services. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here, and if you've been putting off your bath or shower remodel, now is the time to turn to Kohler Services. Family owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life, and this month only. Get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel and no payment financing until 2026. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast, professional installation always included. That's KohlerServicesWI.com.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
let's look ahead. Because if we're looking at this offensive line, which is obviously your area of expertise, from left to right for the 2025, let's say the season started tomorrow, we know who their starting five are, right? Got Rashid Walker at left tackle. Now, could Jordan Morgan take that spot from him? Sure. That could be one of the very interesting stories of this offseason, right? But as of now, you would think they would start the season the way they ended it, with the one change, because they lost in free agency Josh Myers, or didn't lose him so much as they didn't invite him back, and he ended up with a one-year prove-it deal with the Jets. But if the season started today, left to right, it's Rashid Walker at left tackle, it's newly signed Aaron Banks at left guard, it's Elton Jenkins at center, it's Sean Ryan, and perhaps some sort of job-sharing arrangement again with last year's first-round pick Jordan Morgan at right guard, and then it's Zach Tom at right tackle. Goody has made it pretty clear he's not moving Zach Tom, despite the Hall of Fame projections for him at center. My question for you is, you know, we haven't figured out what they plan to do with Jordan Morgan, but we're talking about an offensive line that has not one, not two, but three guys going into their walk years. We think that they're going to sign Zach Tom to an extension, but I don't know what they're going to do with Sean Ryan. I don't know what they're going to do with Rashid Walker. How do you look at where the offensive line stands today and what they need to do in the draft at that position to bolster the depth?
Yeah, see, like when you talk about three guys in their walk years, let's look at this thing like as a whole, right? So like Banks, the left guard, locked in. So separate him. There's their one guy paid, right? You got the first round pick, lock him in. He's there for at least another 3 years, right? So take him away. So there's two guys. They're going to pay Zach Tom. They have to. You don't let tackles just walk out the door. You just don't do it. So there's three guys, right? And they're not really paying Jordan Morgan. He's on a rookie deal, so they don't consider that paying a guy. He's on a rookie deal. So there's three guys that you have locked in right away. So then you look at the situation that they have. Elton's under contract for this year and then the following year, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct.
And then you have – yep. And then you have Sean Ryan on a walk year, and then you have Sheed on a walk year. Green Bay, as you know this, historically likes to only pay at the most three guys on an offensive line at a time. That's how they've done business forever. They never do more than three, but normally never less than two, right? They never just have one guy making money. It's normally two or three. That's normally how they like to do it. And keep it at that. Because if you're only paying one guy, there's a chance that the line it's not sufficient. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, there you have a, unless you got guys under rookie contracts that are just performing at such a high level, and it's a different story. So you look at that, and I see this thing kind of panning out that I'm not sure, even if Sheed plays great, right? Like, say Sheed plays great at left tackle. I don't see them going to the bank at $25 million and going down that path, right? Like, it's hard for me to see, because I think they're going to be paying Zach Tom a very high premium at right tackle. Like, a very high premium. Like, probably around that 19 to 20 number at right tackle. Not Payne at Detroit, but right below that, but it's going to be a premium number at right tackle. So I don't see them going then and paying premium dollar at left tackle. Sean Ryan is going to be an interesting case. That's going to be an interesting case. That could be something that you see, maybe a two-year, they don't normally do two-year, but a three-year extension, depending on how he performs and the money that how that works out. The outlier to this is Elton Jenkins. Right, they're the outlier to this thing, because based on how he's been performing lately and his importance to that group and him moving to center, and you know you can get longevity if he moves to the center position, do you resign him? For me, it's a yes. If you can move him to the center position and he performs well this year, I would pay Elton. I would extend Elton. And after this year with Zach Tom, after this year, so then you would give him another extension, and then have him on board. Say, give him a 2-year extension or whatever, then you have him for another 3 years, and then you got your guys, right? And then there you are. And this draft and next draft, you start adding depth. And then if you need to, Jordan Morgan, then if you let Sheed walk, Jordan Morgan starts battling it out for the left tackle position. Because it's very difficult to pay two tackles at once.
Right.
It just is. I mean, you look at kind of the way Dave and I panned out. The times were different, right? Like the way tackles were making money were way different when Dave and I were on our I was on a 5-year, 30-something million dollar deal, and Dave was then on a 14 million year, you know, 14 a year million dollar deal.
Right. And let's be honest. Right tackles were not getting paid like they are now. Like,
no, exactly.
I know you did well for yourself, but that their market has increased. And if you were in Zach Tom's spot, you'd do a lot better than you did back in your old Brian Bulaga spot financially.
But no, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the way the tackles are getting paid now, that wouldn't have been possible with that offensive line that we had in 2014 with myself, Dave, TJ, sitting, and I get Corey was on his rookie deal, but that line couldn't be together with the way the guys are getting paid now. So Goody has to be creative with who he pays and how he pays them and who he extends and how he kind of shifts things around and how he does it. But it's going to be important that if there's a chance to add depth in this draft and good, solid depth, you know, you're looking fourth round, third round, fifth round, and guys that you like, I think you got to take them, right? Because there's an opportunity, right? Say you can't re-sign Sean Ryan, right? Like say he gets an offer on the free market after this season that's too good for him to turn down, like, and you can't match that number. Well, you're going to have someone be ready to go, right? Like unless you go back into the market, which they're not going to do. They're not going to go Banks again and go sign another guard for $77 million. That's just not what they'll do. So it's going to be important that if you add depth in this draft, you got to make sure it hits. And I do think, and we said this a while ago, I think having Campy as a scout for that organization right now is a big deal. I really do. I know he doesn't make the final decision. I know he doesn't do that. And I know it's up to Goody. And I know that there's guys above him too that go through the checklist before, like above Campy. And I know then it goes to Butkus and it goes to Steno and it goes to LaFleur. Like, I get it, right? But Campy at the ground level, passing these names and these guys up to them, right? And doing the ground level work on these guys is a big deal. Because Campy did the groundwork on the guys that I've mentioned. On the Langs, on the Sittons, on the Tout, like on the Lindsleys, on the Bakhtiaris. Like, he did that work, studying those guys and then trusting them and putting them in. So, like, there's a lot to be said about that. So, like, I think that's going to be important, and we'll see how Goody kind of what he prioritizes in those mid to late rounds for depth, or if he looks at those third and fourth rounds, kind of like he did this last draft. Those guys were starting, like, for our defense. You know what I mean? Like, those guys ended up, not the third round, because we didn't have a third round pick, but our fourth round pick was a starter. Like, that's how good it was. So, like, you got to look at, like, Evan Williams. He was the fourth round pick, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he was a starter. He was a starter. So, like, that's how that turned out. So, like, the fourth round pick that we see is an important pick because the guy turned out to be a stud and a starter. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see how Goody plays these things out. And if he does get offensive, you know, if he does look for offensive line help, you know, where does he look at it? It'll be very telling. Does he go center? Does he go guard body? Does he go tackle body? It'll be very telling because there's a difference between the guard body and the tackle body. We all know that, right? Like, Like, it's very easy to tell the difference between the tackles and the guards. I know they want versatility. I know that's a very, you know, that's a very hot word in the NFL is versatility. We want them to be able to play everywhere, but there's a difference. And I know I'm like old school, you know, play your spot, but you better be able to play a spot and do it well. Like, you got to be able to do something well. You can't just be out there and, well, I know this position, but I can't do it well. You better be able to do something well. So that'll be interesting to see how Goody does that.
And let's be honest, you are the outlier in this history of building these terrific offensive lines because you were the first round pick. You go through all these guys, and as I scroll through it, Josh Sitton, fourth round pick. TJ Lang, fourth round pick. People forget this, but Marshall Newhouse was in your draft class. He had a pretty darn long NFL career. And when Cliffy was out in 11, I know he wasn't an elite left tackle, but he got you through an entire season as a left tackle. He was a fifth-round pick. You always mentioned Corey. Well, Corey was a fifth-round pick, and the other guy that you guys had at center during part of your time there, who went on to have a really good career elsewhere, was J.C. Treader, who was a fourth-round pick. David was a fourth-round pick. Like, now Zach Tom was a fourth- or fifth-round pick. Like, you have to be understanding that that is where you have to hit on the offensive line. So it's great that they took Jordan Morgan last year, but overall, you're building your offensive line with fourth and fifth round picks if you're good at it. Otherwise, you're going into the free agent market to go get guys.
100%. You got to build your guys, and you got to hit on them in the mid to later, like, not, I guess, like seventh round pick. Like Tausch is like the outlier there. Like, Tausch is like,
you're both outliers. You're just different ends of the outliers.
Yeah, like Tausch is like the ultimate find, right? Like seventh round gem. Like, he's like the ultimate find, but like, you gotta find like the core of your group in that third, fourth, and fifth. Like, those are the guys that like that you bring into that room, you develop them, and they end up being what Green Bay's line has been for so long, right? Like, those are the guys that have been the core of that room forever, and like, Green Bay's been very good at it, and that's what they'll continue to do. I mean, because they look at certain positions as investing first and second round picks in, and then they don't. And then they look at picks as third, fourth, and fifth round picks, and that's how they've been doing things, and they've been successful in it.
All right, we need to get to, need to get to Woe Nelly is I'm not sure we need to get to it, but it's scheduled to come up next. Now, there's a sound graph that I want to see on our social media channels, especially with Jesse turning into the camera the way he did. Woe Nelly is next. It is after Tausch tells us about how he's become a UW Credit Union member long after I did. We'll hear from Tausch, and then we'll have more with Brian Bulaga, our cousin's sub of the day, so stick around.
UW Credit Union member Mark Tauscher here. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they'll help you reach your financial goals. And if you're like me, you've always got cheddar on the mind. UW Credit Union can help with no monthly fee checking and great rates that let you keep more of your cheese. And when you're at that stage of life where you're ready to purchase a new home, UW Credit Union is your location, location, location for home loans. With UW Credit Union's local experts, a great loan at a great rate is never far from home. Join today at uwcu.org. That's uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Almost out of our time with Brian Bulaga today, so let's waste some of it with Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
So, Beck and I had kind of a lazy night last night. Pretty tired from the weekend that was, doing our respective things. Went and saw this musical on Sunday night, Neil Diamond musical, which was surprisingly good.
Oh!
Okay. Yeah, didn't know I liked Neil Diamond. Sure enough, I do.
Yeah.
I guess he was a big deal back in the day. So we went and got drive-through fast food dinner last night, which means I was sent to go get drive-through fast food dinner last night. And it was at a establishment where we have had some issues when we've gone through it before with our order. And usually you don't check the bag till you get home and you're just like, whatever. Like a lot of times when we're going through this particular place, it's usually later in the evening on the way home from doing other things. And you just want to get home and have a late night dinner or snack and then get to bed. Yesterday, I kind of had this intuition that something was not going to go right with the order. Get to the window, get the order. Guy shows me the receipt. I thought we had 2 drinks. Turns out we only had 1 drink that they punched in. Okay, whatever. Still felt like the bag was kind of light. I pull forward. I check the bag, and we're missing an entire sandwich from the order. What do you do in that situation?
You park and go inside and say, I'm missing an entire sandwich from this order.
Yeah!
That's what I would do.
I parked and went inside and said, I'm missing an entire sandwich from this order. I wasn't sure. I felt unruly. Like, I don't want to be the person that goes in and causes a ruckus and complains and skips the line of people that are trying to order inside. And, like, there's little kids and the families, and they're just trying to, you know, get their stuff, their cheeseburgers and whatnot. But after enough times, like, I thought about pulling around and going through the drive-thru again, but that felt like it would be an unnecessary situation to put myself in. So we're all in agreement. If you don't get
yes.
it, you just run inside, park the car. That's the way to handle that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Great.
No brainer.
Sure.
Good. I'm glad.
Did you think that maybe you did something, as you called it, unruly?
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't give you one of your sandwiches.
You paid for it.
They didn't forget the chips.
I just like when things go according to plan, and this didn't go according to plan, so then I feel like I'm in the wrong by being the disruptor of going in and having someone come over when they're in the middle of trying to get everything done. Like, I'm respectful of what the people are doing. I just wish they would have got it right the first time, and thankfully it was a pretty quick fix. Everything went okay. It felt like it went okay, but something didn't feel right about the experience. So I just wanted that. You guys are now confirming that it seems like I did the right thing, so we're good.
I don't know how. I mean, the consideration of just driving away and saying, "Well, I guess I didn't get my order. Time to go home." I mean, I don't know what that means. I don't know. Why would you do that?
I mean, I've definitely done that before. Like, if you don't check, like, I've also volunteered to go from home back to the place, like, or other places to go, like, get what you paid for if you don't have it by the time you get home, and everybody's upset that they don't have what they wanted.
Yeah. I have gotten home and realized something was missing, and then I call, and then I say, you know, I paid for this. I didn't get it. Usually they also give you a bonus item to make up for your inconvenience, and when they don't, I'm kind of like, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to be that guy, but you got to do a little more for me. Like, I'm sitting at home without the burger I'm supposed to have for one of the people in my group. So good job, Jesse. Way to stand up for yourself, especially when you're bullied on this show as often as you are.
Whoa, Nelly!
I have a question for Brian Bulaga, specifically. The Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight are coming up this weekend. We had March Madness over the weekend. MLB opening day, if you don't count the games that were in Tokyo last week, is this Thursday with the Brewers here on Madison's home of the Brewers, 100.5 ESPN, and on our flagship 620 WTMJ. The NBA playoffs just around the corner. Bucks had a thrilling game against the Suns last night. My question for you, Mr. Bulaga, what sport besides football do you enjoy watching the most?
Well, soccer would be number one. Premier League, you know, the English Premier League and Champions League and all that. But I will say this. I've been really intrigued by the NCAA tournament this year. I think the games have been really good. They've been really close. There have been really good games. So, like, I've watched a bunch of the games this year. It's been a good tournament. I've enjoyed it so far. So, I don't watch basketball a lot at all, but this tournament season has been fun to watch.
Jesse, that question was for Bulaga. You made it
right.
Very clear. What did you want from me there?
Usually you would
I could
have
left.
You would have something to say in response to him.
I have a question. You called him Mr. Bulaga.
I did
like he's
that.
Like your guidance counselor.
Well, sometimes he feels like it.
I love the NCAA tournament. Thanks for asking. Although I am now intrigued. My European soccer team, FC Bayern, Munich, they're in the, what are they, in the final eight? Is that where we're at right now? You can tell I follow this very closely.
I believe it is the final. No, I think it's, is it eight? No, it's not. There's more than eight, isn't there?
See,
no, you're right.
This has been Soccer Talk with Brian Bulaga and Jason Wilkes.
Well, Man City's out of it. So, like, I
how did that happen?
To the gym.
They've got that Clay Matthews look-alike guy that's so good.
They're struggling this year. They're struggling. They're having a hard go at it this year.
Mm.
So,
Tottenham.
It's okay. They'll be all right.
Tottenham Hotspur? Isn't that Corey Linsley's team?
Yeah, they are even worse. So they are not.
Nelly!
All right, this has been your European Soccer Minute here.
Sorry I asked.
You did, and you did. You asked for it, and that's what you got. All right, we will wrap things up with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Swing and a miss, and the Dodgers are World Series champions.
It's opening day, the Detroit Tigers at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Coverage begins Thursday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. But I won't cry for yesterday.
With our remaining seconds, just since Jesse was so interested, your quarterfinal matchups in the UEFA Champions League.
Whoa, Nelly!
Arsenal, Real Madrid, Paris and Aston Villa, Barcelona and B. Dortmund. Not familiar with their work?
No, he was on yesterday.
Borussia Dortmund.
And Bayern Munich taking on Inter Milan. Is that what that is?
Yep.
Inter?
Yep.
So those are your final eight. This says you get tackle talk and you get soccer talk when you get Brian Bulaga. Brian, you always are there for us when Tausch is out, and we appreciate you giving us today. Good luck for as long as Abby is gone. You're the dad of the year for at least a few days. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good rest of the week.
We will, even though Tausch won't be here for it. That's it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.